Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. All right, let's put our ears in gear this morning and our heart in gear. I almost entitled this message Stronger Than the Struggle, but I tried to make it a little more positive, and I entitled it You Have It All. You have it all. And right now we're coming out of August, and we're entering into what's called the High Holy Days. The High Holy Days of the Lord. This is a season where Rosh Hashanah is going to be happening, Yom Kippur, Feast of Tabernacles. It's a very important season of the year. And during this season, God's people were instructed, I could say commanded, but they were instructed to revisit and meditate on and talk about and honor his promises and his covenant. Because even as a married couple, we need to stop and revisit our covenant. We need to stop and revisit the vows that we made to each other. And the Lord wants us during this season of the holy days, which, if you've been around me any length of time, you know, I begin to instruct you toward the end of August to get your weapons out. I just took you through Built for Battle. I gave you weapons. You know how to use them. You know what they are. But I start telling you, get your weapons out. Do not let them be dusty. Get your word out. Because anything that can go wrong will. All hell will break loose. And I'm not prophesying doom and gloom. I'm not a doom and gloom prophet. I'm just telling you, there is a holy war. There is a blood war that starts to occur in September and October, and it kind of starts to let up a little bit around the first week of November. If you journal, I see a lot of people nodding in here, you can go back and you can look at what you wrote, and you will see the worst attacks of your entire life have happened at this time of year. So we don't want to expect the worst, we want to expect the best. After a while, you become a seasoned vet, and you're just like, oh, there you are doing that. Tried that again. Is nothing new under the sun, but he's an antagonist, the enemy. And he hates this time of year because of what it represents. It represents the very thing that stripped him of his power, deemed him an eternal loser. Yeah? And it is the blood of Jesus. And I love this season now because I love to teach on atonement, which I'm going to. We're going to get in there and we're going to look at some tabernacle language, and we're going to look at Jesus and everything he did for us. And I love it. I love to teach on that. But here's what God required at this time of year, is that his people revisit his promises, because it's when all hell is breaking loose in your life that you need to stand up and tell the devil who you're married to, what he promised you, amen, and that when he said yes to you and you said yes to him, that's an eternal covenant. He's not going nowhere, ever. He has you. He's married to you. The wedding supper is about to take place, right? But the vows have already been made. The reception's already, he's received you. You're his. And so you need to visit the promises of God, because it's these, and I'm going to show you today, because we're going to start here. I'm going to be going through some of his promises, because we're going to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Amen? It's the promises of God, and this is why I say you need to stockpile them and you need to know what they are. If you're lonely, write down the promise that Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you to the very end. Amen? And you need to speak to your own soul when you're struggling and say, I feel alone. It looks like I'm sitting here all by myself, but the Lord is spirit. He's spirit. And he's in me. Yeah? That's good. When you're going through a struggle, and we're all going to struggle. We're going to struggle with our flesh. We're going to struggle with all kinds of things. Having a firm grip on the promises of God will get you through every struggle. You're already an overcomer. That's what the way heaven sees you. You're already a victor. It takes us a minute to catch up. It takes our mind a minute to catch up with our position and our identity and our authority, right? So I'm going to start on this text, but the first point A is that God has bestowed upon us his divine nature and everything we need so that we can live a dynamic and successful life amid the corruption of this world. That promise that he's given us everything we need and his divine nature, I'm going to read to you in just a minute. I'm going to start there. It's the most valuable because there's still a lot of living to do this side of eternity. And knowing we have it all and have the promise of God's divine nature is the only way any of us can truly succeed. Now, sometimes I just stop and I think about that. That's a lot of words. But let's just sit there for a second and think about that. We have his divine nature. And there's a lot of people that aren't manifesting the divine nature of God. Think about his nature. He's loving, and he's kind, and he's merciful, and he's powerful, and he's a lot of things. And I think sometimes we just need to stop and think about all of his nature. And what that does when we know we have that is it starts to defy and push up against the powerlessness that we feel because of our flesh. How many of you have ever felt powerless in your flesh against a struggle? Raise your hand. Oh, good. We're a good company this morning. The Word of God will come and it will bump up against, it will push up against that lie, that feeling of powerlessness and say, no, 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 no. That's the way it was before you came to know me. But now you have my divine nature and my power inside of you to help you rule over the flesh. And the things that your flesh wants to do that will drive your life right into the ditch. I needed this message. You all know my testimony. And I remember saying to my dad one time, it's right after I gave my heart fully to the Lord and just coming off of drugs and all of that, I'm never going back to that again, Daddy. I'm never going to do that again. I'm a. And my dad pointed his little bony finger at me. And he said, daughter, don't ever say I'm not gonna do something and leave out with God's help. Right? Or by his grace. Just you have to include him in that, especially against a struggle like that. He said, because you can't do anything apart from him. But now you have him. You have his power and his divine nature on the inside of you. And now all the things that you tried to quit again and again and again, and you failed miserably because you weren't depending on the Lord, now, with his help, you'll be able to overcome those things. Your life is becoming a living testimony. And someday, you're going to open your mouth and you're going to speak all over the world, and people are going to hear the testimony of God's power in your life. But don't ever say, I'm not gonna, or I'm not going to, apart from his help, amen? So let's be encouraged by this morning. I want to continue to live a dynamic life, a godly life. And I have no reason to be powerless, because I have the word of God that tells me I am powerful. And I've laid down my power at times. It doesn't mean I don't have it, but I've laid it down. And I believe God's saying in this hour, pick up your power. Pick it up. Because the battle is going to rage. There'll be seasons of reprieve, but you need to know how to war with a promise. Do you know that a promise is a weapon? Watch this. 2 Peter 1:3-9. I love that Peter wrote this, because if we think about Peter, was impetuous. He was brash. He was mouthy. He was the one that, I'll never deny you. Remember that story? I won't do it. It won't be me. And the Lord told him, before the cock crows 3 times, you will have denied me. So the Lord already knew he was going to fail, but he was like, you'll be okay, because I'm going to put my power in you. And then the things you couldn't do, you'll be able to do. So Peter had his moment where, I'm not going to do that. Yeah? We all have those moments. I'm not going to do that. So I love that Peter wrote this, because Peter had to deal with his own struggle and his own failure and the shame of letting the Lord down and coming to terms, being introduced to his own frailty and his own inability to do what he needed to do in the moment, the right thing, apart from the power of God. But once he got the power, I love it when someone who has failed miserably in life and then he humbles themselves and realizes, without God's help, I'm desperate. I'm a train wreck heading for train wreck city. Amen? Gets a revelation of God's power, and all of a sudden, the Lord, they start allowing the Lord to live his life out, his divine nature, his divine strength out through them. He gets the glory, and they're like, man, this is cool, right? Peter can speak to this. I love to listen to a person who has gained that kind of authority in an area in their life, because I know they went through the struggle. So Peter says this, for his divine power has bestowed on us, watch this, absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness. Through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So here's where we start. First, you must know him through a personal relationship with him. Religion talks about him. A person in a relationship with Jesus talks to him. It's intimacy with him that leads to a dynamic life, not religious rituals and keeping a set of rules. I grew up in legalism and I couldn't keep the rules. I couldn't keep my life on track. Rules are okay. I mean, they're like guardrails in your life. They're there to help us, but I mean, many of us can ignore those things, right? But they won't help you live a dynamic life unless you're committed to keeping them. And so the Lord, I mean, Peter says, look, he's given you everything you need, but it comes through a personal relationship with him. And he talks about knowledge of him. And when you look at that word knowledge, it is the Greek word for intercourse. It's the same word. It means to be so intimately connected that you become one, okay? So that knowing him is not just knowing about him. I'll just stop and just be so bold to say that coming to church is not going to help you if you don't have, I mean, it will get you around other believers, but just coming and sitting in a church in the community is going to help you when you're alone and you're in the struggle. You got to have intimacy with God for yourself. It just can't be your table leader or your pastor or, you know, your friends that pray for you. You have to have it yourself. So I want to encourage you, start talking to God more. That's all prayer is just talking to God. He doesn't expect us to have perfect language. Sometimes it's all over the place, but, you know, my friends and I, we sit and we talk, and we talk about this, that, and everything. But you need to learn to talk to God. It's in this that Peter is saying, it's through this personal relationship with him, through knowledge of him, that now he gives you the power to live a dynamic life. So second thing you must know is that he has bestowed on you precious and invaluable promises so you can live out his divine nature in an antagonistic and corrupt world. And so let's go to verse 4. It says, for by these, it's important to know, go back to that verse we just read. What are the these? What are the by these? By these, a personal relationship and his divine nature, right? By these. He has bestowed on us, not will, he has bestowed on us his precious and magnificent promises of inexpressible value so that by them, in a passage like this, you need to look at a repeated phrase. So by these and by them. So there's two things that we need to get out of this, we need to extract. We have a personal relationship with him, and because of that, he has put his divine nature and his power in us. By that. Now, because we're in relationship with him, by these things, now he has also put on us his precious promises. These are invaluable things. The world will make promises to you and break them. How many of you have ever had someone break a promise? Yeah. Say they're going to do something, they don't. The Lord's not like that. So Peter is saying, you got this dynamic power in his divine nature. And because of these things with the personal relationship with the Lord, now he's plopped on you, he's bestowed on you all of these invaluable things. You can't go out and buy these things. You know, in the struggle, you're going to need to know that you have them. Watch this. So that by them, there's your purpose. So that by them, what? The promises. You may escape from the immoral freedom that is in the world because of disreputable desire and become sharers of the divine nature. So that word disreputable means this, not considered to be respectable in character or appearance. And I like throwing synonyms in there. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. It means of bad reputation, infamous, dishonorable, dishonest, untrustworthy, unwholesome, villainous, corrupt, immoral, unsavory, slippery, seedy, sleazy, crooked, shady, shifty, dodgy, filthy, scruffy, shabby, and unkempt. Oh, my Lord. See, I'm not picking on nobody, okay? I'm up here too because my life at one time fell into a few of those categories. Maybe I dressed nice. I was all cleaned up and looked pretty. But I had a filthy heart. I had a filthy mind. I had a filthy mouth. I had a cuss jar, and it was full, overflowing. It did, you know, I had to pay the jar every time. I was trying to break that habit when I first came back to the Lord. And, you know, it's just something we pick up. Sometimes you don't even realize that you've created a habit. Most of us are living at such a low level of self-awareness that when you come to the Lord, all of a sudden he starts to talk to you and say, that's not how I want you to live anymore. And for me, I realized God had given me his divine nature. And what I started to see is, here's the Lord who's pure and holy and righteous. And I couldn't imagine him walking up to somebody and dropping the F-bomb up 10 times. And, you know, just we have his divine nature. That will confront you. What I'm saying is we'll bump up against your struggle. So for me, paying a jar and setting a rule, it just seemed to make it worse. How many of you have ever made a rule and it made it worse? Why? Because the strength of sin is the rule. You want to give strength to that struggle? Make a rule. Make a law. If we could have been delivered by rules and laws, Jesus would never have had to come and live and die on the cross. No, he knows that you can make rules all day long, but without his divine nature, without his power inside of you, that struggle is going to continue to take you down. This causes us to go back away from our, I will never do that again, I can do this, and it will take us into a place of desperation where we go, Lord, it's only by your power. It's only through intimacy with you, spending time with you, that I become more like you. I preached a whole series one time called You Become What You Behold. The more you look at something, the more you spend time with someone, the more you start to adapt things that they like and they enjoy. Like, I like jazz. Rod told me last night, put on some music. I said, you know you're going to get some jazz with me. He said, I'm kind of starting to like it too. Because he's been hanging around with me. But we do. We pick up things from people that we love and that we hang around. All of a sudden, the things that they prefer, the things they like, the things they enjoy. Come on, couples, nod at me. There's like... we do. We start to, because that's what love does. When you're in a relationship and you love someone, you want to be pleasing to them. You want to do the things that pleases them. And I'm telling you, this is so important because struggles are going to come, whether it's mental struggles, it's sexual struggles, it's relational struggles. It's like, you know, the soul is filled with all kinds of things, and we cannot become more God-like without God. He has put his divine nature on the inside of us, and none of us have to live a powerless life or fall into any of these categories. So the antonyms are respectable, smart, clean, and excellent. I like that. So for me, the Lord was working on me to clean up my heart. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know what's in a person's heart, just listen to them talk. And this was challenging me in those days because God had a destiny for my life. And it, you know, I had to get rid of pool hall mentality. Nothing wrong with pool. I like to hustle. I'm not as good as I used to be. But, you know, I mean, wherever. I had a clean house, but I had a filthy mouth. And the Lord was working on that area of my life. So the third thing is we must apply diligence and make every effort to exercise our faith in God's promises. That's my responsibility and yours. So find your promise in your struggle and then apply faith in that promise. For me, I didn't have a whole ton of them, but I had one on the refrigerator, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm slowing down and I'm teaching today. You know why that was a big deal on my refrigerator? Because not only did I struggle from coming out of a lifestyle that was pretty rough, but I struggled inside with self-hatred and body shaming. Come on, ladies. So every time I went to the refrigerator, that might not be a big deal for you guys, but food was an enemy. Messed up in the head, right? So much self-focus, so much self-loathing. I had to put a promise from God on there that says, I can eat right. I can take care of the temple of the living God. This thing is not going to dominate my life anymore. I have God's divine nature, and I'm sure Jesus ate and took care of himself when he was on the earth so that he could fulfill his Father's mission. His divine nature was one of love and care and compassion. You see where I'm going with all this? So if I have his divine nature and he's living on the inside of me, I can live the life that Jesus would live through me if he were here inside, I mean, standing beside me in bodily form. He would not be telling me, oh, you're ugly, you're fat, you know, you're skinny, you're too poor, you're too this, you're too... Jesus is never going to do that to you, and he's not going to do that through you. Because of his divine nature, and because of his power, and because of his precious promises, you have been given everything you need to live a dynamic and successful spiritual life in this corrupt world. I don't care what the magazines are telling you. I don't care what the economists are telling you. And images are being just thrown at us like we're just being bombarded with, you know, you have to have this to be okay. You have to have these clothes to be beautiful. You have to have this body to be, you know, loved and amazing. And you have to do, you know, you have to drink this until you can't think straight anymore, you know, to have fun or whatever. And I am very balanced. You know that. If you want to have a drink in moderation, go for it. I cannot find anywhere in the Bible that says that you cannot. But it talks about don't use your freedoms in a way that destroys his temple or causes someone else's life to fall apart. And even though you're free to do it, operate in love. Everything you do should be done in love. Okay? So we have what we need to live this dynamic life. And I really believe that many of you are going to come through this next season with very little fallout, because the things that plagued you in the past, they're losing their grip on you. The more you know, the enemy can lie to you when you don't know the truth, when you don't know the promise, when you don't put faith, as Peter's saying, put faith in the promise. You can't just write it on your fridge and hang it up there and then, you know, continue to let all that stuff go on in your heart and mind. So you look at the promise and you say, it's by this precious promise and my faith in it, that this thing that has had a hold on my life, a strong hold on my life, is going to lose its grip. Jesus is not standing here thinking defeat. He is not standing here berating and shaming and guilting the person that he bore the shame for and bore the guilt for. And I have a choice in this moment to either lean into his power and have a conversation with him through intimacy right now. Lord, thank you for walking with me into this environment where before I had no power over it. But now I can walk into this room knowing that because when I walk in there, you called me to walk in this room as a testimony and as an example of your divine nature and your power. And I don't have to do what I used to do in powerlessness and as a victim anymore. I can walk in there crowned and bestowed with your anointing and with your power, and I can be an example of your love and your delivering power in a place where I had none before. In verse 5, let's look at this. For this very reason. So now, what is the reason? For this very reason. You've got the divine nature. You've got the power. You've got the promises. For this reason. Applying, now here's your part. Applying your diligence to the divine promises. So there's work to be done, guys. There's a struggle, but you're stronger than it. You have to keep applying yourself, being diligent. Nope, I have a promise. I'm putting faith in that promise. That promise is going to pull me through this warfare. That promise is going to pull me through this struggle. Because it wasn't just anybody that gave me this promise. It was the Lord. Amen? Diligence. Make every effort. Do you see the effort here? Make every effort in exercising your faith. Watch. To develop moral excellence. And in moral excellence, knowledge, insight, and understanding. So we're to be developing that. When we come into the kingdom, we come in all kinds of ways. We live in a very morally corrupt world. Morality is not just sexual, okay? There are people that are immoral in business. There are people that are, you know, just immoral in their thought life. There are people that are immoral in their relationships. And morality comes in all kinds of categories. But it's our job to develop it. The Lord gives us his divine nature. He gives us his morality. I was meeting with a mentee this week, and I was saying, you know, look, I can't judge nobody. I can crawl up in anybody's mess and go, there's help out of this. How many of you feel like you've been in probably every messy situation in life, and you can say, we can crawl up out of this, right? I'm actually, you know, happy to say that in my new relationship, I had this conversation with Rod. I've never been in a season where I was sexually moral, except for when I was married. And I came into that in immorality. Can we all just be real this morning? Many of you know I've given you my testimony of my past. But God's redeeming that season for me. And that's a very vulnerable thing to say, but I've never done that right. But God is giving me a whole new chance as a single 59-year-old fabulous, fabulous woman to do that over. So I'm preaching myself out, y'all. That day cannot come soon enough. I am having to walk this word out right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? You should clap for that man right there, because that man is too... Listen, guys, we are without excuse, but we can keep making them. And making excuses leads to more powerlessness. What I'm trying to do is give you the word that is has to work in my own life. I will not stand up here. I cannot stand up here and preach something I'm not living. That would make me a hypocrite. There is no authority on me if I'm not going to live this out. Yeah? This is going to hit all kinds of different ways. So it is our job to develop this, right? Look at verse 6. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, steadfastness. And in your steadfastness, godliness. So Peter doesn't stop. He's like, you got to keep going. As you start to develop this with his divine nature and his precious promises and his power, there's going to be other things in other areas of your life. You need to keep plying diligence. You need to keep putting faith in the promise. And as you do, things are going to start to be built out in your life. And then one day you look back, and I say to everyone who I ever have a conversation with, that girl... that drug-dealing, drug-addicted girl who was thumping thugs and dealing drugs, and, you know, just completely out of her mind, filthy mouth, potty mouth, aggressive. That girl seems like somebody else. It seems like a different life. I can look back on it, but I am so not that. He changed my name. He gave me a new identity. He put his power on the inside of me. He started to teach me who I was and whose I was. But it was me that had to do the work. Every day that I got up, I said, God, I'm desperate without you. Because without you, my old nature is going to keep showing up. And because I'm married to you, because I'm married to a king, I can't go to that place anymore. Because that's going to bring shade on my king, right? It changes everything in your life when you know you have a relationship with someone at that level. You don't go hang around those places anymore. You don't go do those things anymore because you don't fit there. And in your godliness, verse 7, brotherly affection, and in your brotherly affection, develop Christian love that is learned to unselfishly seek the best for others and to do things for their benefit. So, the promises of God are powerful. We all know that. And when they are diligently applied by faith, there will not be one area of your life left unchecked by God's love. I've been so challenged in this because I've seen families that are, they're affectionate with each other, right? but they lack self-control. They lack, they're very immoral. They bought into the world's culture. And the Lord's saying here through Peter, look, I want you to have all that. I want you to have affection, familial affection. But I want you to have so much more than just affection. I want you to start to develop all of these things in your life. And I think verse 8 and 9 are the cherry on the top of this whole challenging message. He says, for as these qualities are yours, as they are yours and are increasing in you as you grow towards spiritual maturity, they will keep you from being useless and unproductive in regard to the true knowledge and greater understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, when you lack these things, you have basically forgotten who you are. And I like it. He says, for whoever lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, closing his spiritual eyes to the truth, having become oblivious to the fact that, very important language, he was, not he will be, he was cleansed from his old sins. And I love the way the message says it. It says, with these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our an experience. We should be encountering God. We're having an experience with the Lord. With the Master Jesus, without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you. Oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. It's been wiped off the books. This whole, the week before, as I'm going to start to end this, but I was in a grocery store, and there was a woman. She was loud and really not self-aware at all. I'm sure you've all encountered these types of people in stores. And the little boy, she had him in the basket, but he was not that little. He was actually big enough to be walking. And I could tell she had belittled him to such a degree that he was just kind of all hunched over and he was taking it from her. And she's just berating him, this child. And he started to say something to her and she basically yelled at him, shame on you. As if he had no right to assert his voice. That's a God-given right. I don't think he was talking back to her. I was watching him. He was just kind of mumbling, and he was going to say something to her, and then she just jumped on him and said, shame on you. And you should be ashamed of yourself. And I thought, lady, you should be ashamed of yourself. I just started praying for the child. I started praying for her. Because it just is such a reminder of the voice of the enemy in our life. He comes at the slightest infraction, and sometimes it's not even the biggest thing, and he starts dumping shame on us, and shame is a heavy weight to carry. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And that word save means to make whole, to free, to bring every burden off of, to make you whole and complete, lacking nothing. Right? And so as that was happening, I left the store and I kept hearing the Lord say, I'm removing shame from my people. Every time that we struggle with our flesh, the opportunity for shame comes. And shame is toxic. So I Googled some good shame scriptures and I found this one as a promise in Zephaniah. And it says, I will take away your shame. I will make them stop hurting you. At that time, I will punish those who hurt you. I will save my hurt people. I will give them praise and honor. And that word honor means a good reputation. It means fame. It means renown. God is wanting to redeem every area of our lives. But the Bible says a good name is above riches in honor. And what I wanted in that season of my life coming out of a shameful lifestyle was I didn't want to be known on the streets of Modesto as that girl anymore. I love what God says. He says, I'm going to give them a new name, a beautiful reputation, even in places where they were put to shame. You know how many people get involved in a lot of shameful things and then they have to leave and go to a whole nother area where people don't know them to sort of run away from that reputation? You know what God does? Many times he'll keep you right in the same city, around the same people that you used to have shameful interactions with. And he'll begin with his divine nature and his divine power to restore your life right in front of him. And he'll make your life a living example, and he'll put his excellence and he'll put his cleanliness on you and he'll put his beauty on you. I can stand here today as a living example of all of that. In the early days, I used to think, oh no, what if I, a godly Christian woman now, run into somebody who knew me as their connection? Well, that happened. I was in a park on the west side singing for Jesus, all dressed up in my corporate Take Me Serious clothes. And someone gave me an opportunity to give those that were there that day an invitation to receive Jesus. And I looked down and there was Frankie, who used to buy drugs from me. And he didn't recognize me. God had done such a work in my life that he didn't even know who was standing in front of him. God took me back to the very place where I was put to shame and put me on display as a picture of his delivering power and his glory and his excellence and his beauty. I didn't run away from my city. I stayed here. And it's 30 plus something years later, and I'm still struggling with the same things that many of you struggle with from time to time. But I can tell you this, there's a lot of Holy Ghost power and river that is already water that's under that bridge. There's been so many years, and I want you to know, God is all about restoration. He is all about that. And he says, I'm removing your shame, and I am taking you from shame to fame. You have it all. You have what you need. Use it. Amen and amen. Come on, stand up. God, I thank you. I thank you for using the testimony of this girl over and over again. I thank you, Lord, that there are testimonies in this room. I look around this room and I won't point any of you out, but as your shepherd, I know some of the things that you've been through, and I'm so incredibly proud of you. You cannot do it without Jesus. The Bible says if you will believe in your heart and you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, in that moment, he will come inside of you. You know what? I love even that. Buddha doesn't go inside of anybody. He is a dead statue sitting in, you know, different businesses, and they have to feed him. They have to take care of him. Muhammad is a great prophet of, you know, I don't know all of that, but he didn't come inside of anybody. He stayed in the grave. Philosophies can be something you make a mental assent to, but it is only the Lord Jesus Christ that said, I will come and I will come inside of you and I will put my power in you and I will give you my divine nature and I will give you my promises and you will have everything you need to live a divine and dynamic life. And not only that, I will give you eternal life. And if you've never made him the Lord of your life, you should. I never want to give anybody message without an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. I never know who's watching. There are people that someone will send them the podcast, and if that's you and you got the podcast and some friend said, hey, listen to this, you should thank that friend and you should surrender everything to the Lord right now, just like I did. Wherever you are, say, Lord Jesus, come on, help them. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I surrender my heart to you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and help me to live the life that you want to live through me. I know, say it with conviction, come on. You guys hear this all the time, so I can get a little lazy, come on. I know I will never, ever, ever be the same. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen. Listen, if you need prayer, stick around. We'll always be here to pray for you. Otherwise, you guys have an amazing, amazing afternoon.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.